Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Many of the historic houses of Marion County were painted with lead-based paint. What are the dangers? How can we know if we have lead paint in our houses? And what can be done about it? Let's go in-depth with Corey Frank, Environmental Health Coordinator with Marion County Public Health, and Brian Anderson, Field Specialist. Well, Corey, is lead paint and other forms of lead an issue in homes in Marion County?
That's a good question, Bob. Yeah, lead is a health issue, and we do have lead in most homes that are built prior to 1976 for target housing, or 1950 in particular as far as lead-based paint. Lead is an issue that all individuals, either renters, buyers, sellers, all individuals need to be aware of when they're either occupying or looking at buying or selling a home.
And so is it a serious health risk in an older home?
Lead is a very serious health risk. Lead poisoning, there is no small dose of lead poisoning as far as what it can do to a child. We are very involved with our program in Marion County with and our elevated blood levels for children. We are contracted by the state to do the lead grant or lead testing, lead education, and investigation of lead poisoning for children specifically under the age of 6 years of age. And so those children, when they are poisoned by lead, there are certain studies that indicate even low levels of lead can cause the most damage. And when we talk about damage, we talk about everything from IQ and issues, learning disabilities, hearing disabilities, hypersensitivity, nutritional issues, and these are all long-term things that are non-reversible.
Well, that sounds all very serious.
I'm not joking aside. Yes, it is very serious. I mean, it is no joke. Lead is a very serious issue that we are trying to make a impact in Marion County as far as educating individuals about the dangers of.
Well, and Brian, we just tested this. Well, you just tested this older house in Knoxville. For lead, what did you find? First, what is your piece of equipment? What is that? An interesting-looking gun that beeps.
It's called an XRF analyzer. It stands for X-ray fluorescence. Basically, it looks like a gun. It shoots a little bit of X-rays into the wall itself. It only goes down to about 1/8 of an inch to 1/4 of an inch. Lead has a very specific frequency when it gets hit by X-rays, and that's what the machine detects, is that frequency being bounced back. So we can detect if there is lead that's been painted over. So we can go down several layers, which is usually the case in the old house. This one being an example. So there was really able to see the old lead paint that's in all the original trim work, the original windows, the doors. And then I'm able to tell the difference between that and the newer things that were put in the house. There are some additions made here, some newer walls, which I was not getting anything out of at all.
So all the old trim, all the old baseboards, all the old door trim, windows, everything.
Yes. Lead. And it's pretty typical for an older house, really typical. Doesn't mean it has to be necessarily an immediate danger. Now, if the paint has been kept in good condition, which most of the paint in this house is, and what I mean by that, it's not chipping or peeling in most areas, and that generally is not considered a health risk until it does start to become damaged. So, for example, the windows in this house, the door frames, anything that's had impact on it, the paint's starting to wear out. You start getting the chipping, dust, anything, which is really important when you have kids. The kids at a certain age are hand-to-mouth. They get their toys, especially in windowsills, is one of the worst. That's where they like to play with and chew. They get that dust and the chips in their hands, and it immediately goes to their mouth, and that's usually where most of the lead poisoning happens.
And they are not eating the paint, it just gets, you know, you put your hand to your mouth.
Yeah. Well, actually, that can be an issue, too, because a lot of times you'll see in some of these older houses, you'll see teeth marks on windowsills, especially, mm-hmm. because a lead paint, unfortunately, has a very sweet flavor to it. Now, if it does have the latex paint over it in good condition, most of the time they're not going to chew on that too much. It doesn't taste near as good. But lead paint, unfortunately, does have a very sweet flavor.
You haven't tasted it.
I've kind of cut down. No, I
haven't. Yeah, you know, like Brian said, even some of the old advertising on paint prior back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, even there's one particular company, and I won't mention company names, but they advertise it as even tastes good. You know, like Brian said, it has that sweet taste, and kids feel like it's candy and want to chew on it. And it doesn't take a very large amount. They say it can be the size of a pinhead amount of lead that can cause immediate poisoning. And it takes days, weeks, months, even up to years before that lead is sometimes can come out of their body. Lead goes through a process where it enters through the digestive system through your, you know, they ingest it, but then it gets into their bloodstream, and in high amounts of lead will get into their bones and in children. And then what happens is through it, it then comes out of their bones back into their bloodstream over time. And so that's why it's so critical to get into homes. Sometimes when we have lead poisonings, it is very critical to get in and find that source of lead, whether it be, like Brian said, windowsills, paint, what it is, and try and eliminate the hazard. And that's really what our goal is, to do surveillance and eliminate the lead hazards so that individual families with children can stop the damage that's already occurred.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about lead paint in our homes with Corey Frank, Environmental Health Coordinator with Marion County Public Health, and Brian Anderson, Field Specialist. Now, you guys pointed out where lead paint was before you even got out your equipment. You were telling me where you knew lead paint was. What were the characteristics? Can you tell us?
Usually we'll look at lead paint. Deteriorates a certain way. You get what's called an alligator skin type look to it. It starts to form little squares, basically. Lead paint was a very good paint. It lasted years and years. I mean, it's that's why it's still there. Latex paint will tend to dry differently or deteriorate differently, get more kind of a straight lines to it. But it's just a kind of look to it. And then also just you get used to what areas of the houses usually still have that on there.
So there's a whole lot of people in the listening audience now thinking, oh, I've picked back some of that paint. They have, I bet.
And generally, some of the best education we try to give. Number one thing, best thing you can do if you have a house, especially one that's before 1978, is good housekeeping, vacuuming, keeping the windowsills clean, keep your paint in good condition. That's probably the best thing you can do as far as if you do have children. And if you notice that they are playing in areas like in windowsills a lot, good hygiene, hand washing. That's probably some of the best things you can do. Wash toys if they're sitting in windowsills.
People that are walking around their house now as they're listening to this, they're looking for that alligator crazing, that alligator shape on their windowsills. Now, do they have to go take out all those windows, all the trim work, all the old doors? Do they have to do that, or what could they do?
Usually, if it's a high impact area like windowsills and door frames, especially when you got the doors opening and closing, hitting those frames all the time, we usually recommend one of two things. Either if you do want to keep the original trim and the original woodwork and everything, we do recommend you take the paint all the way down to the substrate, all the way down to the wood. Try not to do anything like dry sanding or using heat guns, anything that would cause more dust or to cause the lead paint to become vaporized and turn into a gas in your room. But using good scraping or wet sanding, try to get that paint all the way down the wood and then repaint, and that will alleviate most of the problem there. Windows are even a little bit harder, that you're always going to get dust and chipping from those areas. We usually suggest replacing the windows outright, put new type windows in. You know, you might as well take advantage, put something in that's a little bit more energy efficient. But if it's something you're really wanting to keep, again, take it down as far as you can, all the way down to the substrate. They actually do make inserts you can put inside of window wells. They're usually made of a plastic or aluminum. Anything that you get that covered, because not only do you have that friction and impact, you also have weather. And when things get wet, no matter how much you paint over them, it's going to peel again.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about lead paint in our homes with Corey Frank, Environmental Health Coordinator with Marion County Public Health, and Brian Anderson, Field Specialist. What if I can't afford new windows?
Like Brian said, you know, you can do things, you know, housekeeping, do the low impact type of approach to it, or just barriers. Like Brian said, if you have children and you have a room that you have that issue in with the lead-based paint in the windows, then, you know, we see people when we do some of our investigations that actually, you know, the baby crib is right up against the window, or the kid's play chest is right up against the window that has lead-based paint in it. You know, those are where we do a lot of education through public health, nursing, as well as our area, the environmental side of it, and we try and educate people on, okay, well, if that is an area of concern and financially you can't take any care of this right now, then try to limit the access. And in, you know, that old thing about keeping an eye on your kids, you've got to be very vigilant when you have a home that's, say, older, or you're renting a home that's older and you have those issues and maybe you aren't able to take care of it because of financial reasons. You know, you just got to keep an eye on them. And there are some resources out there, depending on your income levels, that that might be accessible to individuals to help with that. There are weatherization programs out there that will help with windows and things like that. But I guess the main thing would be for if individual just can't afford it to, you know, find some more information out, educate yourself. And if you need that help and information, contact our office or the, you know, look on the internet and look at the Iowa Department of Public Health, the EPA, some sites like that.
So if somebody's concerned about lead paint in their homes, can they call your office?
Yeah, we're more than happy to help with answering questions they may have. And if we don't have an answer immediately, we'll try and find out for them. And there are, you know, a whole other side of this that we can talk about another time is involving with that. If you're going to hire out to do renovation, there are rules and laws that the state has adopted in the last couple of years that pertain to types of contractors and individuals that can do that work. Especially if you're not doing the work as your own self within that home, meaning you have to live there, occupy it. You can do, like a lot of other things in this world, you can do a lot of your own work inside your home. But once you are a landlord or things like that, there are other requirements. So we can answer some questions about that or point people in the right direction.
What if I want you guys to come out and check my home? Would you do that? And if so, what's it cost?
You know, we consider this part of our Healthy Homes programming that we do, and Healthy Homes, and we've talked before, you know, Bob, about these things involve everything from air quality. Lead is considered a Healthy Homes type of issue, so we're more than happy, you know, like, kind of like today, we're just come out, we take a look. If we have the machine, the XRF unit that Brian described with us, we can maybe take a look at things, and there's no charge to that. We're more than happy to help. But if someone's needing some more detailed type of information or things, you know, if there's a legal issue or things like that, then we would recommend contact a licensed mitigator or assessment individual to do that type of testing, just so that if they need something that might be an issue in court or things like that. But we're more than happy to come out and help just identify issues like we did today inside someone's home.
And it really didn't take you very long.
No, not generally. If it is a test being done where a child has been lead poisoned, there are specific requirements that I have to follow by the state. And that'll generally take me anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. Generally, I have to check every single room, anything that's got a different type of paint to it, sample from every kind of trim, floor, wall, ceiling, if I can get to it. So that can be an extensive test that's done there. But as far as what Corey was talking about, a healthy homes type thing, it doesn't take too long. I mean, we basically kind of walk around. Things that I will usually look for the most and point out, like I said, is good housekeeping. If you're seeing paint chips somewhere, that's something you want to look at.
And for example, you know, where we saw the place where there was some paint chipping or peeling off the wall, going back to that healthy homes approach and concept, you know, we're going to also try and point out some of the other things we see. You know, if we see like a hot water heater that doesn't have a flue attached properly, or there's other public safety issues within that home, slip, trip, falls type of things, we're going to try and help that individual with those areas too. So it is a real holistic or a whole approach to looking at a problem. It's everything sometimes hinges upon other issues. Obviously, if you've got peeling paint, you might have a moisture issue, which could be due to ventilation. It could be due to roof leaks. There's all kinds of factors that go into these things.
And so then you'll provide a little bit of background so people know what to do or know what to tell their contractor they might need.
Yep, correct. We like I said, we try the best we can to answer the question. If not, we find someone else that's smarter than us.
Well, that's good advice for us all. Huh?
Yeah.
So your advice is for people in homes built before 1978 to check it out.
Yeah, our advice would be if you have a home built prior to 1978, and like I have said, if you're looking at renting, buying, selling, and you have questions about lead or what's in that home that could harm you or do harm to others, then we hopefully we can answer those questions for you and provide you the best information we can. And we're more than happy to do that as part of Marion County Public Health Services and service to this county.
Thanks to Corey Frank and Brian Anderson for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.